The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Good morning. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Very good.
All right. We have with us, second week in a row, Joshua Arp, owner of D&D Organic Lawns and Clark Summit's Municipal Arborist. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Thanks for coming back with us.
Happy to be here.
We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced and exceptional realtors. We've been providing excellent results for over 40 years. We deliver dreams and change lives for the better by advising, assisting, and guiding clients in real estate matters.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners live webcam tab. You can't see any trees, though. I'm giving away what the show's about. But we get hundreds of hits a day. And there's lots going on at the corners you might want to see. So
remember to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Okay, Joshua Arp, owner and operator of D&D Organic Lawns, also Clark Summit's Municipal Arborist. You've been doing this since 1986?
That's correct.
Wow. That's amazing. A long time. And you said last week, before our show, you know a little bit about this topic. Well, I have to say that you are an encyclopedia.
You really?
And I love our discussion so far, and we're going to have a great one today.
Thank you.
Let me ask you something. Do new kids even know what an encyclopedia is?
That's true.
Right? Or is it all Wikipedia? I don't know.
I'm dating myself.
Yes, yes.
But we had a great discussion last week about trees. We're going to continue it this week. The majority of Americans, now imagine this, the majority of Americans, and this is from NAR, National Association of Realtors, they say that they want to live amid nice landscaping. The survey found that 91% of Americans believe it is important to live in close proximity to trees, grass, and nice landscaping. So, it's pretty important.
Let me tell you about a study that was recently done in Toronto.
Okay.
They studied people who lived in tree neighborhoods and not tree neighborhoods. And then they quantified their health and their psychological well-being. And the people who lived in a treed neighborhood had a health and psychological well-being index comparable to people who make $10,000 more a year than they do.
Interesting study. Okay. Well, I didn't see that study, but that's very interesting, those results. We want to talk about trees this week, and we were starting to talk about the different types of trees and the ash and the chestnut tree of days ago, which have had some problems and blight and are not surviving. And you talked about replacing those and what to replace them with. Want to talk about different fruit trees. Pat likes fruit trees, specifically an apple tree.
Apple trees, yes. Okay. I was talking, well, you're a Clark Summit guy. I have apple trees up there. Some of the apples are very old. It's a very old orchard. And we were having this conversation off air. I thought that if I took an apple seed from one of those apples and I planted that apple seed, that I would get that apple tree. But you're telling me that's not so.
No, it's not the case because of cross-pollination. So just like you're not identical to your father.
No, I'm not.
You're a cross between your father and your mother, and it's more complex than that, right? It's the same with an apple tree. If you want to get an identical apple tree, you have to graft it from the parent so that it is identical genetically to the parent.
What do you mean graft it? How does that work?
You cut off a piece from a viable branch, probably less than 2 or 3 years old, and you cut a wedge in the bottom of that, and you take it to another rootstock from another apple tree, probably one selected because it's a strong rootstock, and you insert that twig, and then they tape it up until the two grow together, the old rootstock and the new. I have a story about that at a home in Clark Summit that we service. They have a crab apple tree planted in their front landscaping. Last fall when I was there, I looked at the tree, and it's covered with crab apples, and lo and behold, somewhere on the tree are like 2 or 3 real apples. What is going on here? What happened was the tree had been planted in such a way that the graft was above the soil line enough that a branch from the rootstock had been able to grow over time into a long enough branch so that the parent rootstock was producing apples while the rest of the canopy of the tree was producing crab apples. So it was a crab apple tree grafted onto an apple rootstock.
So you got two different kinds of apples on the same tree.
And if you go in a plant catalog, sometimes you might see an ad for an apple tree that has 3 different kinds of apples on the same tree, or maybe even not just apples, but apples and plums or apples and peaches on the same tree.
Wow. Now, I like apple trees. Now, what I've read from the manufacturer, because I like to fertilize them, they say I should fertilize in the fall and in the spring. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Or do you just say, do what the manufacturer says?
I'm not an orchardist. As a consumer, sometimes I wonder whether those recommendations just help to sell fertilizer. Because we've maintained a lot of properties for a lot of years. I can take you right now to an ancient orchard that we mow under, and that place never gets fertilized, and it produces apples year in and year out. One of the concerns when you fertilize is if you're adding nitrogen, and you're with any tree, if that's just putting out leafy growth, forcing leafy growth, then you wonder if that is causing other parts of the trees to be malnourished because the tree is putting so much effort into creating leaves. And of course, as an apple tree owner, you're not interested in leaves. No. You're interested in apples. So if you leave the tree alone, most likely it's going to do what it needs to produce the apples. Of course, pruning is another story. You may prune the tree in order to produce a better apple crop, but that's different than fertilizing.
And there's types of fertilizers that you believe in, and there's some that you don't.
I would rather say there are types of fertilizers that I prefer. I prefer to use natural and organic ones. As an American, if I were to say no chemical fertilizers allowed anywhere, well, I might weigh a little bit less, possibly, right. Unless the culture changed, right? And as a culture, we're married to chemicals for much of our fruit crop and our food crop. And I can't say that I'm a purist and I never eat anything that's touched a chemical. I would like to be able to say that.
No,
that would be my desire.
Right.
Well, there are groups and organizations that are working on that end. Rodale Farms, which is located near Allentown, and Rodale, of course, is the publisher of Prevention Magazine. They are working at creating completely organic crop production, and they have had amazing results. And by the way, anybody who's listening, it's a great field trip to visit Rodale Farms. But apples are their hardest project for organics.
Yeah, but we talked during the break about you saying you have to spray your apple trees if you want to have nice, big, luscious apples.
So the question is, are you looking to get something in your own yard that you could sell at the grocery store?
Probably not.
Probably not, or it's very difficult. There's a book called The $84 Tomato, where a guy outlines his challenge is trying to do just that with apples. And he invested basically hundreds of dollars in the project before he basically just gave up. You can't create store quality apples easily at your own home year in and year out.
They're going to look bruised.
Yeah.
They'll have little
spots on them. They might not have good shelf life. And that's another thing that we talked about. The trees that are the apples that are in the store have been selected not for their flavor necessarily, not for their other desirability characteristics. They're for shelf life. And how does it look on a shelf? And how long does it last? Will it survive being shipped here from South America? So they've been grafted, like we said, not from seed. And many of the apples, for example, the apples that our forefathers ate, right?
Yes.
Think about our forefathers in America, right? The Patriots. We're not eating those same apples today.
Absolutely not.
In many cases, because the grafted trees have overwhelmed the marketplace and the old heirlooms. Now, there are people that do heirloom apples, and they go and they find these ancient orchards and they get a graft from them and they come and they make them publicly available. But those have problems. They don't last on a shelf long.
They
might have ugly skin.
Yeah, they're ugly.
They might not have good color, but they might taste phenomenal. They might be great for baking. Who knows? They might be great for both.
So you mentioned the importance of pruning.
Mm-hmm.
How do you properly prune a tree?
And when should you do it? Should you do it now,
okay,
or should you do it in the spring?
We can go on and on forever about this, but I want to start just for a second.
Well, we don't have forever.
We won't. Yeah. But I want to start for a second in the apples, and I don't know if you were headed for that.
No, please.
No,
we're going to
do what you want.
So we just talked about apples and chemicals.
Right.
If you prune an apple tree so that, they say that you should prune it so you could throw a cat through it, and I'm sorry to the cat lovers, but the point is, if you could throw a cat through a tree and it wouldn't get stuck or hit a branch, there's a lot of space in there, right?
Right.
Incidentally, all trees should be pruned for space. Okay? And why? What's the reason for that? Well, the reason is for air and sunlight penetration. So instead of spraying your trees for fungus that grows on the leaves and on the apples, get some more sunlight in there. Get some more air in there so they could be dry. Right? And the other thing, insects, what do insects like? Cold or warm, wet places. They all have their own habitats. Get some light and some air in there. You're probably going to have less insects. So proper pruning is going to help the overall health and productivity of your orchard plants. It also helps our other trees around our property. And that's what you were getting with a minute ago. When should you prune? Well, they taught us the best time to prune is January. Why? Because diseases are dormant, and you're not cutting off leaves of a tree. They also said, well, look, you're not going to be doing this every year. The customers are going to need it. You have to be in business, so you can prune year-round. There might be some precautions to take. For example, I have several customers right now asking me to prune their Japanese maple trees, and I'm telling them, please, let's just hold off on that until the leaves fall off. It's easier to prune when the leaves aren't on because you can actually see what you're doing and there's less volume of debris. But number two, leaves are like a savings account on a tree. Think about this. In the spring, the root system makes an investment to produce these leaves out of their savings account, the resources that the tree has available. If I go and prune that tree and prune all these leaves that the tree just created, I prune them off, what am I just doing? The tree gets no return on that investment. What is the return on investment for leaves? Photosynthesis, right? So a tree puts out its leaves in order to feed itself. If I cut it off, it's going to have to produce more leaves. And what happens to the tree's resources savings account? Goes down. So I wouldn't recommend heavy pruning. They say never prune more than 25 to 30% of a tree's foliage in a single year. Ideally, you would prune it after the leaves are off. Okay? So, think about it. Why do trees' leaves change color? Now, I'm pruning trees. I pruned some last week. We have to do this as part of an ongoing maintenance thing in our properties, right? Nobody could possibly prune all their trees in the off season. But think about it. If you're going to have to do drastic pruning, when the tree's leaves are changing color, that's because the chlorophyll has done what? Gone back into the tree. I want to prune the tree after it got its chlorophyll back. I don't want to cut its chlorophyll off. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's a good reason for pruning in the dormant season. Another reason is disease. Diseases aren't going to be active in the dormant season. So pruning in the dormant season. That's the answer to that question. But if you're not pruning in the dormant season, make sure that you prune lightly and carefully.
Got it.
Pruning out dead branches, branches that are causing injury, branches that
are growing over my garage or growing into my window.
Let's call those the exceptions.
The squirrel bridge to my house.
Let's call those the exceptions to the ideal rule. Let's call those the exceptions rather than the rule. Okay? So that's for when do you prune. How about how do you prune? That was the other question that you asked, right?
Yes.
You call a tree pruner.
Let's not go there.
Okay. If you can get one.
Just because someone has a chainsaw and a boom lift and has 30 years in the business does not mean he's going to properly prune your tree.
I've seen that.
Okay. And we talked about that a moment ago. The proper way to prune a tree is by making your cuts either at the nodes, which means by a bud, or much better yet, at a branch juncture. Okay? So an internodal cut would be a cut between two branches, and you're leaving a stub. Typically, that has been called topping. Okay? There are some ways that the Europeans developed to produce firewood and basket weaving where you can do these internodal cuts in a sense, but if you do it year after year at the same place, you're cutting above the callus. When you call in the tree guy and he makes topping cuts, there's no callus and you're just opening up the tree for decay and improper branch growth from those meristem cells that we talked about in the previous broadcast. So, how should you trim a tree? Cut it at a joint. Don't leave a stub. Don't make a flush cut. Cut it and leave the growth collar so that the tree can heal over the wound and fight off the decay. Wound wood is the strongest, most decay-resistant tree wood in a tree. And that's what was produced when a tree is properly or improperly pruned.
We're learning so much. This stuff I've never, ever even thought of.
Well, I used to live in a beach community. We didn't have trees. Nothing grows in the sand.
Nothing, yeah.
Oh, no, that's not true.
There was no trees.
But you did, your father did win a gardening award.
Yeah, well, he put a lot of time into it, and Sandy came in and washed everything out.
Interesting thing about sand that is so difficult is what happens when you pour a bucket of water on sand.
Runs right through it.
It runs right through it. Compared to, we live in a more clay area. If you dig a hole in the ground and pour a bucket in it, that water might not be going anywhere, right?
Right.
So if you plant a tree in sand and it doesn't have access to a water supply, especially when it's young, the tree is going to die. It has a much better chance in a clay soil that holds the water. So those trees that do grow in sand, they can send their roots out three times as far as the tree is high in search of water.
Joshua Arp, owner of D&D Organic Lawns and Clark Summit's Municipal Arborist. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
The best way is by email. My email is josarhuap at aol.com. That email address appears at the bottom of my weekly column in the Abington Suburban and my sporadic column in the Triborough Banner or the Mid-Valley Advantage.
Thank you, Josh. Pat?
Yes, we have a beautifully updated two-bedroom home at 922 Maple Street in Scranton.
Another?
Oh, my God. What's with all the trees?
I don't know. We did not plan this.
You did this.
I know,
you
but did. Last week we did Chestnut Street. This week we're doing Maple Street. In honor of Josh.
Yes. 922 Maple Street in Scranton for $129,000. This home has wonderful design elements and detail that you will love. This is really a beautiful home. It has gorgeous hardwood floors. It has shiplap ceilings, which is a type of wood design that's really nice. It has floor to ceiling wood columns. It has cornice moldings. It has stonework in the bath, a huge deck, off-street parking. It also has a newer roof, a newer gas-forced hot air system, and a newer central air conditioning unit. So it's got central air. That's a beautiful two-bedroom home at 922 Maple Street in Scranton with central air conditioning for $129,000. And that's listed by Aaron Pierce of our office.
Thank you, Pat. I have the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors MLS statistics for how people paid for their single-family home the last 30 days in Lackawanna, Luzerne, Pike, Wayne, and Wyoming counties. 24% paid cash. That's dropped significantly.
Wasn't it like 30-something percent?
It was high 30s and even sometimes in the 40% range. Conventional loan, that's a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac type of mortgage, 48%. 20% went with an FHA, the Federal Housing Administration type of mortgage. 2.3% used rural housing. And 5.3% used a VA type of mortgage, the Veterans Administration. Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be back after a very brief break.
The talented team of professionals at Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. They're not just real estate agents, they're agents of change. They're on a never-ending quest for the best for you and your family. They can help you find exactly, precisely what you want at this time in your life. A computer, a website, an app, and a listing by itself can't do that. They're obsessed with better and deliver extraordinary, embracing the what if, not just the what's been done before, with a level of accountability and honesty not found anywhere else in the real estate industry. Don't settle for average, okay, or just all right. This change in your life is monumental. And there's only one Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate that will help you rock that change. Call 570-344-6724 and visit jruddy.com. J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Yes, and we're back. This is very interesting stuff. I didn't know a lot of this.
We are with Joshua Arp, owner of D&D Organic Lawns and Clark Summit's Municipal Arborist. Hello again.
Hi.
You're an arborist. You're the tree man. You're the tree guy.
You know a lot about trees as well as landscaping and all that goes with that. So we were talking before the break about pruning. How, when, and...
Why? You should cut trees certain ways. It was very interesting.
Right. So, very interesting. I learned a lot on that segment. So, now I'd like to talk about, from your point of view, please, how do you tell when a tree's on its way out? I mean, there's signs before it's, you know, obvious.
So, you can look up and you can look down if you're evaluating a tree. Those would be the places that I recommend. If you look up, see if there's what's called crown dieback. In the top and the farthest places of the tree are the leaves not coming out, for example, in the spring.
And the top, the furthest part.
The top and the extent. And if it's uniformly dying back, then that's a bad sign that the whole tree is not doing well. If it just happens to be in one place, then you could look closer to see if there's a, you know, a specific problem the tree has. Then look down. Is bark falling off around the base of the tree? If there's been any wounding, is there any sign that the tree has tried to recover from that by producing wound wood? There are some other things, but those would be the basics. Would be look up, look at the crown, look down, look at the trunk.
Is it possible that trees wound themselves? And if they do, how does that occur?
This is a great question. I don't think most people think about trees wounding themselves. And you mentioned a second ago, Pat, about the why of pruning. if a tree is in a forest, do we ever prune it, right? So that's why I don't like to say you have to prune your tree on the one hand to make it survive. Trees survive without human intervention all the time. But when you bring a tree out of the forest, in the forest, remember, it's competing with other trees for light and nutrients and space. And what happens? Branches die that aren't getting enough light, and they prune themselves, right? So trees turn into these tall poles with the canopy up top. Bring it into your lawn, and now it doesn't compete anymore. And it's producing all kinds of branches that it doesn't need, maybe, so to speak. And some of these branches will bump into each other, and those are rubbing branches. And trees can wound other trees, and they can wound each other. Wound themselves. And what happens is, as the wind blows, if two branches touch or can touch, they're going to rub against each other. And what happens is that rubbing rubs bark away. Next thing you know, you're rubbing into the tree. It's the same as backing into it with your car, except it's happening up in the tree trunk. Sometimes I get the opportunity to do hikes and lecture on hikes. And we're walking through the Abington Rec Park, and somebody said, "Hey, look at that tree that broke off 12 feet up in the air. What's wrong with that tree? How did that break there?" And I always like to think I can figure out why every tree broke, right? And it doesn't just happen on its own. I walked over and looked at it, and guess what you could see? There was another branch from another tree that had been wounding that other tree 10 or 12 feet up in the air over a long period of time on the trunk. And when the wind blew just right, the decay had set in, the tree wasn't strong, and that's exactly where it snapped. So trees can wound themselves, they can wound each other, and you ought to remove rubbing branches when you're pruning if you don't want some kind of failure to happen in the future in your tree.
Interesting, because there's a lot of trees, a lot of different trees, and I don't know much about them. I can't sometimes even identify them. But the most beautiful trees that I see are usually ones that are intertwined, and you're saying that's not good for them. The branches, that is.
So if it's topiary, where it's been designed to go that way, then probably somebody is maintaining it in that sense, right? Mm-hmm. Number one. Number two, topiary trees and shrubs are not very big, so they don't really present much of a risk. And number three, topiary is usually working with newer growth and guiding newer growth. It's not talking about some kind of a big skeletal structure. Although, in theory, you could play bonsai with a 100-foot-tall tree. I have never heard of anybody doing that, right? So, typically, topiary is much smaller.
Okay. This is a fun time of year for everyone that lives in the Northeast. We get to see a lot of colorful landscapes.
It's while not fun for the guys who have to rake up the leaves,
no,
okay?
I know.
It's nice to look at.
You days and days are out
God.
There. I know. But so when do the trees, the fall foliage, when is the peak time?
In Northeastern Pennsylvania, a general rule of thumb is to expect it to be in the second week of October. And by the way, that's when there's a lot of homecomings for the local schools, and that's no coincidence. It's exactly when they chose to put it, because it's you get to bring your alumni back and see the beautiful fall color. Usually the air is, crisp and clear at that time as well. It can move forward, it can move back by a couple of factors, but generally speaking, expect a good show the second week of October.
Excellent. Okay, very good. We had 2 weeks of wonderful discussion with you, Josh, Joshua Arp, owner of D&D Organic Lawns, and Clark Summit's Municipal Arborist. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
Email is best. My email address is josarhuap@aol.com.
Thank you, Josh. Pat?
Yes, we have a well-kept ranch-style home, a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath home at 1140 Franklin Street in Old Forge for $164,000. This home has a detached, heated 2-car garage. It has a large paved driveway with plenty of off-street parking and a carport. All of this on a 160 by 160 lot with low taxes of less than $2,000 a year. It also has a finished lower level with a wood-burning fireplace, a fully floored attic for storage, and a built-in safe. That's a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath home with a heated two-car garage at 1140 Franklin Street in Old Forge for $164,000, and that's listed by Karen Kashuba of our office.
Thank you, Pat. We're out of time. Thanks for joining the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate.